Hello, everyone. Today is Friday, November the 10th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the show going by supporting the podcast, supporting the radio show. You can share it online with your friends and family. You can leave us a good review anywhere you get your podcasting content from, be it iTunes, Spotify. Leave us a good review. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. And we're going to leave some links in the description so you can do just that.
And the verse of the day today comes from Luke chapter 11, verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened.
Yeah, because we treat the Christian life like it's some passive thing. We're passive participants, just letting God happen to us, letting the Holy Spirit happen to us. But he who seeks God is the one who finds him. And it's a good reminder for us, I think, to always be seeking his face, always be looking forward to what his plan is, not just letting it happen.
Yeah, just like you said, be an active participant in the Christian life. God does the work of the Christian life, but he calls us to do work as well. He calls us to be active participants in the process of our sanctification.
You know, speaking of being active, we've got a special guest on the show today. Today is a really, really important episode for us here at Clearview.
I'm so glad that he's here for my birthday and David's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. It's your birthday.
But that's not the birthday we're talking about today.
David's birthday. 3 birthdays today.
Yes.
There's a more important birthday.
There is a more important birthday. That's what I was going to say. It is our birthday, but there's a more important birthday.
Dr. Shah, happy birthday, my
friend.
Happy birthday, Dr. Shah.
So it is yours and David's birthday.
It is, but it... Before us, there was another birthday today, and that is the birthday of the Marine Corps.
That's
what we're talking about today.
It goes all the way back to, 1775?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, before sir. America yes, was even America.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The Marine Corps of America was there before America
That's
was.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Well, the guest today is Mr. Bruce Parrish, who is a good friend, and his family has been a good friend to me and to Nicole, and we've been connected through God's providence for a few years, and he and his family have been part of the Marine Corps for a long time.
Wow.
And so I'm really glad to have him here with us.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to see you, Bruce. You know, with today being the Marine Corps birthday and tomorrow, November 11th, being Veterans Day, we wanted to kind of do something where this has kind of become a tradition on the show where we talk to people who have been in the military and who have served the country. What years were you actually involved in the military?
I was in the Marine Corps from 1986 until 2009.
Wow.
That's a long time.
How many years is that?
23 years and 3 months.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
What do you think is the thing you took away most from it?
The thing I took away from it was exactly the reasons I joined.
Mm-hmm.
Just the structure, the discipline, just the... just learning a new value in life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, I didn't value things as much, and I think the Marine Corps like set me on a path. To better my life. So.
How old were you when you first set your sights on the Marine Corps? Like, was there a certain age where you remember maybe that's something I want to do?
Well, I had always been fascinated with the military, but I had a buddy of mine that went to school, Sam Leonard, and he introduced me to a recruiter. I got suckered in. And
was it at school?
Right, it was at school. And then I got introduced to the recruiter. And the next thing I know, I'm more interested. And next thing you know, I'm taking a physical and I'm taking a test. And then I just decided I was going to join. And that was, I was 18.
Wow.
And I turned 19. Actually, I was in Marine Corps boot camp on my 19th birthday.
Wow. That's amazing.
Incredible. I know all those attributes listed, like discipline and order and structure, those are amazing traits that come from the U.S. military, but also traits for the Christian life.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Those are things that are essential to Christian living.
Well, I really got close to this family through Bruce's son, who's also a Marine, I should
He's
say.
He's also a Marine.
Well, I was at their wedding, and I made the mistake of saying ex-Marine.
Oh no!
And Bruce very nicely.
I remember that story. I didn't know that was Bruce though.
Yeah, it was Bruce. Who's like, all right, Dr. Shah, you can't say X. So explain to us how that goes.
Right, because the Marine Corps has the saying like, once you earn the title, like it's not like something you can turn back in.
Right.
Once you earn it, it's yours
You've
for life.
It.
It's yours for life, and so it's you can refer like even now, the Marines don't even like to be referred to as former Marines.
Really?
It's like you're always a Marine, so you're either a Marine on active duty, or you're a Marine retired, or you're a Marine that's no longer on active duty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. And it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, it's personal to me because our son-in-law, Jared, right, is also... How do you say it? Non-active duty Marine because he is, and he's very proud of his Marine heritage because, you know, when some things happened, I think it was 2 years ago, some Marines died and he was, I could just tell he was down.
Yeah.
And, and I said, "You okay?" Well, you know, it just hits you different.
It's a brotherhood. It's like Marines are webbed into that. And, you know, I recruited in the Marine Corps for 3 years, actually. Became the person that got me in and talking to people about joining the Marine Corps. You know, the Marine Corps doesn't sell people on the tangible things, going to college. And just, the Marine Corps sells people on the intangible things that you get from joining the Marine Corps. You know, the Marine Corps has the 14 leadership traits, you know, the judgment, the justice, the decisiveness, the dependability, the initiative, the integrity, you know, those intangible things that, you can have whatever job you want in the Marine Corps, but what are you going to do once you're no longer in the Marine Corps? And I think the Marine Corps prepares you by giving you those intangible things that no matter what you do in life, you're going to be successful at it.
I think Christians can learn a lot from that because there are stories of Christians being persecuted overseas or being killed or going through some level of tribulation. And as Christians here in America, a lot of times we're like, oh, man, well, we'll be praying for that. That's terrible. But it doesn't have that same gut reaction, maybe sometimes, but not always, as what you were saying, Dr. Shah, with Jarrett, actually feeling that visceral feeling of Marines, you know, being killed. Because like you said, it is that brotherhood and there's an emotional connection to people who went through the same thing as you did.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But for me, it was there was definitely a difference in Jarrett when he came back from active duty. And the way he shook my hands. Well, he was still in the Marines at the time. And he shook my hand. I could tell it was like, what happened to that to that handshake? It was kind of like a little, you know, limp fish. And he's like, oh. And I said, oh, okay. Good to have you back, Jared.
Did they teach you all that social stuff?
Well, the Marine Corps is big on traditions and customs and courtesies and things of that nature. And even now that I'm a little older, I'm not old, but I'm a little
older.
There you go. I still call people sir. Sir, no matter what. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. And some of that you get coming up, because it's not like the Marine Corps just turns on a light bulb for you one day.
Right.
You know, you do have some of that in you. You may not know it.
Right.
And the Marine Corps brings that out in you, and they really harp on that. And, you know, I tell people all the time, people ask me, well, why are you so enthralled with the Marine Corps? Why do you, you know, I never let an opportunity pass by without talking about the Marine Corps. And I just tell them because it just turned my whole life around. And so.
Now your whole family, you have several people in your ancestry who were always part of the Marine as well.
Right. My wife's dad was in the Marine Corps.
Right, that's right.
Her uncle was in the Marine Corps. My wife's uncle was in the Marine Corps. And then, of course, Joshua's in the Marine Corps. And then that's some of what got Joshua, my son, to join the Marine Corps was he just wanted to be a third-generation Marine.
That's right.
It's one of those things that you – it's a lineage. You just want to keep it going.
That's right.
And so,
Well, there's a heart to serve, and I think that speaks volumes about your character and his character, you know, that heart to serve our nation.
And now somebody doesn't spend as much time in the Marines as you did without moving through the ranks. So it wasn't like you just stayed kind of base-level entry Marine. You kind of – ascended a little bit. You moved through. Right. Talk to us a little bit about what that was like.
Right. When I joined, you know, Marine Corps is always hard about obtaining rank in it. And I tell people, you know, I spent a better part of 44 months as a E4 and another 46 as an E5. So I spent a long time as a Marine NCO, Corporal and Sergeant.
Is E4 and E5, are those low or are they relatively high?
Well, once you obtain the rank of Corporal, E4 in the Marine Corps, you're kind of like, you're on your way.
Okay.
All right.
You know, and so I got, you know, promoted as Sergeant, and Sergeant and Gunnery Sergeant, E5 and E7 in the Marine Corps, is kind of like the ideal rank to be.
Sergeant and then Gunnery Sergeant?
No, it's a sergeant, then you make staff sergeant, and then you make gunnery sergeant.
And those okay. That's the sweet spot.
That's the sweet spot is sergeant, you're driving the mission. You're uh-huh. driving the you're in daily contact with the Marines. You're constantly on the go. Mm-hmm. Then you get promoted to staff sergeant. It's not so much. It's kind of like a low. You're not a sergeant. You're not driving the bus right. anymore. And you're not a gunnery sergeant. You're not, you know, issuing the orders down. But then once you make gunnery sergeant, those two ranks, sergeant and gunnery sergeant.
Those the fun ones?
Those are the fun ones. The sergeant drives the mission, and the sergeant doesn't do anything without the gunny say-so.
See, gunny is just a great nickname. I would want to be a gunnery sergeant just for right. that. Yeah. Just so that when right. I walk by, people are like, gunny? That, right. To me, that's a really cool right. thing.
Well, yeah. if you saluted the gunny, you'd probably be in trouble.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, because gunnery sergeants, E4 or E1 up to... E9 in the Marine Corps is enlisted ranks.
Okay.
Which the Marine Corps, if you find an enlisted Marine, which I was, they will say, well, what's the difference between an enlisted Marine and an officer?
Uh-huh.
And an enlisted Marine will tell you, well, we work for a living.
So is a gunny sergeant too low to be saluting or too high?
No, it's enlisted Marines don't get saluted at all.
They don't get okay.
Officers
okay.
are saluted.
And this goes back to customs and courtesies. The only enlisted Marines that rate a salute in the Marine Corps are Medal of Honor winners.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
If you're a Medal of Honor winner, then you rate a salute.
Got you. Yeah. Wow. I'm learning something new every day.
Yeah. I'm like writing this down over here.
So you were a gunnery sergeant for how long?
I was a gunnery sergeant for the better part of 5 years.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
And then I got promoted to Master Sergeant, and okay. that's the rank I retired as.
That sounds pretty cool. Master Sergeant, that's right. a great title.
Master Sergeant is, I mean, it's, you know, the next rank up, and, you know, you can only go to E9, that's Master Sergeant's E8, and you can only go to E9, which is a Master Gunnery Sergeant.
Ooh.
But Master Sergeant, that's about the time I decided I was ready to retire. Mm.
Is it less desirable? Because you said the two greatest ones are the sergeant and the gunnery sergeant. Is being the next one up, master sergeant, less desirable than gunnery sergeant?
Well, and obtaining rank is always great.
Right.
Because, you know, with rank comes greater responsibility, mm-hmm. greater pay. Mm-hmm. You know, you get more pay, of course.
Right.
That's the way the military works is the higher up you go, the more pay you get. But once I attained Master Sergeant, it's kind of like you get removed from the everyday involvement with mm-hmm. Marines.
You're not somewhere.
Right. You're in the desk. You become the they of the world. Like when you're when you're a young Marine, all these orders are barked down to you by the corporal or the sergeant.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, why are we doing this? And they're like, well, they said.
Okay.
And they never say who they are.
Mm.
Well, once you make Master Sergeant, you find out who they are.
Because
you
are the they.
You're part of the they.
You are the they.
Oh, I see. So the higher rank is good, but functionally it's not quite as enjoyable. Right.
From the, right.
You sit at a desk knowing that all the Marines somewhere are complaining about you.
Right. Well, that's the part of being a boss is, you know, you're not there to be loved.
True.
And unfortunately, sometimes.
Done.
Right.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. You know, it points to kind of like we were talking about this leadership principles behind the way the Marines mm-hmm. are set up and how that works. And, you know, that separation between the ones who are in charge, the they, like you said, I love that distinction, the they versus the people who are kind of carrying out the orders. That can breed some disunity. Mm-hmm. That can breed some kind of hierarchical thinking.
You know, Dr. Sean, your leadership style, how do you separate the boss from the leader? Because I think you would probably agree that there's leaders out on the field and then there's bosses, you know what I mean, that are kind of, like you said, sitting back, expecting things to be done, but they're right. never really seen or heard from directly.
Well, I think Bruce would agree with that. If you've been there, done that, mm-hmm. that builds some kind of camaraderie with the guys under you, mm-hmm. where you can say, I'm not telling you anything I wouldn't do, I haven't done.
Right.
I'm sure how many times you've said that.
It's funny you would say that because, like, when you become they and they look at you and you're passing all these orders, you know, I always tell my Marines, like, you always know when they're disgruntled or whatever. And I always told the Marines, I will never ask you to do anything right. that I have not That's done right. myself That's or right. I would not be willing to do.
Right.
right.
And so I think they appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely.
They're like, okay, he's been here and he's done that. And so he's not telling me anything that he's not willing to do. So yeah.
It's a lingo, and mm-hmm. and that lingo cannot be learned just going to a college on an officer rank, which is great. But sometimes if you haven't been in the trenches, you right. learn a certain way of saying things mm-hmm. and certain mannerisms that cannot be learned in a textbook. Right. It has to come mm-hmm. from being there.
And it's crazy that people somehow know, they can always pick up when you've gone through it or when you're real and when you're credible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's insane that you have to sort of, it's this unspoken thing. Even if you told them, hey, I've been there, I've done that, they can tell just by the way that you speak or by the way that you lead that you haven't.
Mm. Right.
Wow.
Right. And then even in the officers program, like officers in the Marine Corps, of course, they go to college and they get a 4-year degree and they become commissioned and they go to officer candidate school and to the basic school and that. And, but you know, there is another program that the Marine Corps has to where they actually allow enlisted Marines to become officers. Mm-hmm. And so like you're enlisted and you can get your 4-year degree and then you can convert over to the officers program. The Marine Corps refers to them as Mustangs.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
And so, pretty cool.
If you're a Mustang, then you really get the respect of the enlisted Marines because they know, okay, he's an officer and he's done all this and that, but he was enlisted too. So he knows what it's like to,
Sense. He's been where we are.
Yeah. To carry this burden to,
it's more of a slang, not a title like in the Marine Corps handbook.
Right.
It's a slang. Okay.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Here's something I want to know, because Dr. Shaw, you have 2 son-in-laws. You have 2 daughters married to, and they're both married to military men.
I don't know how that happened. I guess it's just how I am, I guess.
So your daughter Abigail is married to a Marine, and your daughter Rebecca is married to someone who's in the Army.
Right.
Or who was up until very recently in the Army.
He's still sort of connected with the Army.
Right.
He still works for the Army,
right.
but in a different capacity.
And they really, over the years, have become brothers.
Yes.
And I've seen this camaraderie between them, but also this kind of lighthearted, playful tension because one's in the Marines and one's in the Army.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of running gag between them that, oh, the Marines is tougher than the Army. It's like, yeah, but the Army is better than the Marines because of this. Is that real?
Right. It's really.
You really open a can of worms.
I know.
It's kind of like you banter back and forth or whatever, but you still have that little bit of respect mm-hmm. because you know everybody has a mission. Everybody yes. has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Everybody mm-hmm. has a, you know, my oldest son, he did his time in the Army or whatever. Mm. And so I appreciate it. He served his time and, you know.
Did you try to talk him into going to the Marines first?
Well, actually, I will tell you the truth. I never talked either one of my children into joining the military. I kind of wanted to distance myself from that because I didn't want to be the responsible party of you talked him out of it or you talked him into it. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. then if later on something goes wrong, it's your fault.
You made me.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And if they don't join, they think years later on, I could have been or I could have. And so I kind of like just you make your own decisions. I know I made my own decisions. My parents didn't even know I had joined.
Really?
And,
wow.
I went down and talked to the recruiter and went off and did my little physical and test and that. Came back home and told my parents I had joined.
How did that conversation go?
My mom, she was always one of those that when she received news or whatever, she'd go, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
That's a very mom response.
Right. She's like, oh, Lord. I told her, Mom, I joined the Marine Corps. She was like, oh, Lord, Bruce, what have you done? What have you done? And then my dad, he was very strict person, whatever. And I think he used reverse psychology on me because he was like, oh, you won't make it. You'll be back.
But
you know, I used that as motivation in recruit training and boot camp mm-hmm. to push through. Like, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going mm-hmm. back. And we actually had conversations years later. He was like, I didn't really mean that. I knew it would push you.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that because I'm telling you, before I joined the Marine Corps, before I became a Marine, I needed that. I was not a person that was motivated, a person that set on task or, mm-hmm. you know, I was wishy-washy in everything that I did.
So when you were in boot camp, did you ever feel the motivation shift? Was it ever like, I have to please this drill instructor, get him off my case, or I know I can do this, I know I can be better? Like, did it ever fluctuate between those two?
It was kind of like, I know I can do this.
Okay. Mm.
I know I can do this because one of the things that I used later on to actually talk to other people about joining the Marine Corps is that, you know, the Marine Corps is only less than 1% of the U.S. population.
Wow. Like
less than 1% of the U.S. population. But when it's still a great number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like on any given day, there are 176,000 Marines on active duty.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And if any one of them can do it, then you can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of that, like that. And then I also had the privilege, the basically luck, really, of joining the Marine Corps on a buddy program. Mm-hmm. So me and two of my high school friends actually went to boot camp together. We were actually in the same platoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of made this pact. Hey, as long as you're here, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like that pushes you.
I think, absolutely. And I think one thing we can all agree on, Dr. Shah, I know you said this a lot, is whether you're in the military or whether you're in ministry, being self-motivated and, you know, not having to work to please someone else or to, but saying we can.
Right. And on your own.
On our own.
Go for that. I mean, I saw that in Jarrett when he came back. Now, he was always hardworking. That part was never an issue. But when he came back, I could just tell he was a go-getter.
Right.
He wanted to make things happen. Mm-hmm. And now he's doing architectural design and joined the same college. As he's walking around the campus with Abigail for her law school, he sees an admissions counselor for the same college. And he's like, let me go talk to him for a minute. He goes to talk to him, comes back with an application, joins the same school. Now, Abby is doing her law degree, a master's, I guess, in a sense. He's starting his bachelor's, but he's started. He actually started school before Abigail did.
That's awesome.
Same school.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, okay, the self-motivation part I can definitely see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you want to see in your staff and in people is self-initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, don't wait somebody to tell you to do that. You see the need, you know, you have the skills and the authority to do it, go for it.
Right.
Don't make us come over there and tell you, hey.
Yeah, well,
isn't that the truth, though?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I can see like a kind of hopeless 18, 19-year-old just in this desperate situation. And there comes that point where you realize, like, the drill instructor's never going to be, like, on my side.
Right.
We're never going to be, like, buddy-buddy. I'm not going to please him to where he'll leave me. Like, he's here to push me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that mental shift of, I can do this and I have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow. That's really awesome.
Yeah, that's such a great reminder. And we've talked about this throughout, but such a great reminder for us as believers. Like, you know, it's not just kind of kick back, kick your feet up and let Jesus do all the work. Like, there's some push required in the Christian
Absolutely.
Life. There's some hard work that's required in the Christian life. Bruce, what do you feel like over the course of your time in the Marines, how do you feel like that impacted your faith today?
Just the focus.
Mm.
The focus that's required. Because there are so many things that can take you outside of that realm. There's so many distractions. There's so many things going on in the world that sometimes you can lose yourself and you just be like, well, maybe not today. And then you revert back to that Marine Corps mentality of, yes, if there's any time to do it, today's the day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't stop just because it's Monday.
Right.
Wow.
Don't stop just because it's Friday,
right.
You know, a long weekend or something like that. You have to stay continuous in it all the time.
Yeah.
Can be on and off again kind of person.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a mission.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But you cannot stay on that revved up the whole time, but at least that's the focus of which you're going in every task.
Yeah. And I think Clearview reflects that as well, that we're always pushing forward. You know, even when your book came out a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
We could have thrown a big party, taken, you know, months off, celebrated, but it's like, no, there's a paper that has to come out as well.
Yep.
Like while we're celebrating this book coming out, this paper is in its final stages of being polished.
That's right.
And so there's always, not that there's always something more to do, but kind of, we're constantly pushing forward for the sake of the gospel.
Well, that's one of the things that I admire so much about you, Dr. Shah, is your vision, is you see what's next and then you see what's coming after that.
Right.
So you know while we hit these milestones, while we hit these peaks, and there's celebration to be had when we get to those peaks, there's a greater goal. There's a mission that continues.
Absolutely.
Where did you learn that? Where did you pick up on that?
Well, see, I always wanted to be in some form of armed service, but I never got the opportunity. It just did not materialize for me, and I attribute that to God. But growing up, very early on, my dad, of course, his father was commissioner of police, so they always had that sense of, you know, focus, discipline. We can do this kind of mentality, work together. And so what he would do is he would bring home these comic books.
Ooh, nice.
All right. That, now you're speaking kind of my funny. Language. Yeah. And they're called Commandos. Mm-hmm. And they come from England. Okay. So these are British comics called Commandos. Mm-hmm. And he would bring it every month. There would be one. And my brother and I would read them through and through. And it was British Commandos or American Marines. And sometimes they would even go like the French Cavalry. Uh-huh. I mean, so I grew up reading these comics.
Yeah.
So I already had that kind of a mindset, although I never got the chance to either serve in India or coming here.
Yeah.
I was in college immediately and then kind of went into ministry, but always had that desire. Maybe I could, I mm-hmm. should have. Mm-hmm. But so... No wonder two of my son-in-laws
yeah,
come out.
Yeah,
yeah,
they are both armed forces. I mean, that's not by coincidence.
Yeah,
it's always funny. I always tell people, one, God always puts you exactly where you're supposed to be.
Right, mm-hmm. that's right. That's
and you know, the other thing is that you will find that most people that joined the military or were members of the military, they're somehow involved in law enforcement
right.
or EMS or first responder or something like that. It gets back to that call for service.
Right.
And a lot of people that leave the military service and they get out, you know, they still look for that camaraderie, mm-hmm. that discipline, mm-hmm. that structure and stuff like that. And law enforcement provides that. Right. And that's how.
Wanted to help people,
right.
rescue, right. serve, mm-hmm. Be the front line. If there's a fight or battle, they're right. out front to save and protect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's right. a mindset not everybody has.
Right.
But yes. you know when somebody has it.
And you know, the right. United States is truly, in my opinion, I think we can all agree, is the greatest nation on earth. And it's because there are men and women like you and like your sons-in-laws who are willing to do that, who are willing right. to be out there, be out front and say, hey, I'll protect you. I'll serve.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think, you know, it's good that we're able to come together and I mean, just do this every year where we can come together and celebrate that.
Yeah.
Right.
What advice would you give to someone and Bruce and Dr. Shaw, mm-hmm. Who is thinking about the Christian life? What advice would you give them in terms related to the Marines or the armed forces? How is yeah. your faith like being in armed service?
The first thing I'll tell them is, it's not easy.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a great answer.
It's not going to be easy.
Great answer.
Just when you think you've accomplished something and you're at your goal, you're not even a quarter of the way there.
Preach, brother.
You're not even a percentage of the way there. You just got to keep working. It's kind of like that, you know, you can't rest on your laurels.
That's right.
You had to continuously keep working, because there's always another mission.
Mm.
There's always another hill to conquer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the way I look at it. That's how I compare the two.
Yeah, right.
I quote that. I mean, that's a great way to say that. Of course, we have God on our side, mm-hmm. helping us in that battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we alone are doing it. So that makes a difference for the Christian life. It's just like the Marines, you have mm-hmm. your brothers with you.
That's right.
So
that's awesome.
So good. So important. Bruce, thank you so much for being on the show today. I want to wish everybody who is watching happy Marine Corps birthday, and then the following day, happy Veterans Day. And just to all of our veterans out there, Bruce, as well, thank you for your service.
Amen.
Thank you.
If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that Donate Now button, and become part of our Clearview Today Show family as we seek to impact the nations with the gospel of Christ. You guys have a wonderful weekend. We love you, and we'll see you next time on Clearview Today.